The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, A Black American Dream Deferred? The steps to achieving home ownership involve so many systemic hurdles for Black buyers that it's nearly impossible for many to cross the finish line. If we are serious about moving the percentage of Black homeowners from 40% to 70%, it will only happen with federal infusions. The student debt dilemmas, overcoming the millennial predicament. Compounding the home ownership issue is the pervasive burden of hidden student debt, which significantly hinders the ability of Black millennials to amass savings from down payments. Millennials experienced the rise of student debt like no other group. Perry says higher education costs have more than doubled over the past 40 years, triggering a parallel increase in student loan borrowing. The Federal Reserve reports that in the last decade alone, the U.S. student loan debt balance has surged by 66%, reaching a staggering total of more than $1.77 trillion. Perry notes that the prospect of taking on more debt can be daunting for Black millennials dealing with substantial student loan repayment obligations. However, he underscores the importance of distinguishing between good and bad debt. In general, you don't want high credit card bills, he says. You don't want to take on debt that will essentially erode your net worth. But debt to take on a home is a positive thing. Creditors see mortgages as good debt, backed by the value of your home, and consistent mortgage payments are perceived by lenders as a demonstration of responsible credit management. Generally, home ownership is considered a positive indicator of financial stability. Still, as home prices surge, wages remain stagnant, and affordable housing options dwindle, many Black millennials find the dream of home ownership out of reach. In 2021, applications from Black millennials declined to 23%, according to the NAREB report. The decline deepened further in the subsequent year. Despite the challenges, Rose says ownership remains a cornerstone of wealth building. A dream restored, dispelling myths and maximizing Black wealth. In recent years, a counter-narrative on home ownership has gained traction, stemming from a 2017 study challenging the conventional belief that owning a home is a reliable path to wealth. The report suggests that alternative investment avenues could be equally lucrative. Don't believe the hype, warns Rose. If it is not the best wealth-building tool that exists, why do 3 out of 4 white Americans own a house? They are still being told by their parents to get a house. Nobody's talking them out of the dream of home ownership. While the case for abandoning home ownership in favor of other investments is data informed, it doesn't fully encapsulate Black Americans' financial experience and the stark contrast in median net worth between Black and white households. Today, the median net worth of white households is $250,000 compared with $24,000 for black families, Rose says. For black millennials lacking significant discretionary income, allocating extra funds into the stock market or a diversified portfolio may not be feasible. However, what they can do is pay rent. Within this context, redirecting those monthly payments toward a mortgage offers an opportunity to build equity and future wealth while addressing the fundamental necessity of shelter. Beyond the potential for wealth building, Rose emphasizes a deeper significance of home ownership. With a background in Houston-based black-owned family real estate business, she is intimately familiar with the pride of home ownership instills in individuals and communities. And this is particularly important for African Americans because we were owned, we were capital, we were seen as property, she says. The next article is titled Black Men Build. With Black Men Build, I want you to be able to live a full life and be a part of something that is powerful, says Philip Agnew. I do what I do with Black Men Build because I was raised to understand manhood and I want that for future generations. Before starting the organization, the Chicago native and member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated attended Florida A&M University, FAMU, where he excelled academically and co-founded the Student Coalition for Justice. He did his civic duty as an art activist and got involved in grassroots advocacy. Now, Agnew wants Miami-based Black Men Build, established in 2020, to become a serious national force in the fight against institutionalized subjugation. It is a lot to carry. I think what gives me a modicum of sanity is the belief that I'm doing something, he says. We are building an organization that will have the power, relationships, and influence to build a new reality for other people, build those places of empowerment for other people, and train them to fight and make those places the norm and not the exception. When asked if participants at the organization's meetings lament the narrative that Black men must overcome trauma, Agnew makes a concession. I feel that way, he states. I wish that I could wake up and be an artist or a gardener or travel and move about the world and not have to be concerned with inequality or poverty. Where I didn't have these concerns or have this sadness, melancholy, or anxiety, it's an additional stress that creates all types of physical, mental, and emotional manifestations. My answer, though, is to organize ourselves to be able to fight back against the people who are doing this. We should organize ourselves into a community that can relieve some of that stress. No stranger to community organizing, a new co-founded Dream Defenders after the tragic death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, who was killed in 2012 in Sanford, Florida. I don't know what I would do without the movement, Agnew says. It is a place and a space that has completely transformed me in my conception of who I could be in the world. I got involved in college way back in 2003, in 2004. It's been one of the only things that felt purposeful, so powerful that I felt that I was a part of something larger than myself. Anu never loses sight of the goal, working successfully with Black men to improve neighborhoods. There are 9 hubs or chapters across the country, from Miami and Atlanta to New York City and Los Angeles. I don't see our work as only for men, he says. We have women members and leaders and staffers. I see our work as work for Black people, for oppressed people, for poor people. We are all part of the ecosystem. Black Men Build is undoubtedly a political organization. Our goal is to give Black men and their families all the tools that they need to be a powerful political force in their communities, in their homes, in the city, in the country, Anu says. What inspires him? He ponders for a moment. It's a combination of things, he says. My parents always taught us to speak up. I'm the oldest of 4 boys, and my father was very, very intelligent man, and still is. He always was really clear in teaching us about the way the world is and about the haves and have-nots in Chicago. I was a child learning about Black Panther Party leader Fred Hampton and the politics of the city of Chicago, particularly where we grew up. You witnessed the unfairness, the life we lived in West Englewood. Anu's upbringing helped lay the foundation on which he wants Black men to continue to build, and also simply to be. I think the goal of every human being is to be able to be understood, to connect with people, to actually be able to surrender and let their shoulders down, and just to be at peace and contentment, he explains. It's our goal through our work over the next 5 years to be able to create the conditions for more Black men to do that and be that with whomever they love, with their mothers, with their sisters, with the women in their lives, and with other brothers. For Anu, it is this vision of community that drives him most of all. The next article is titled, The Silent Stigma of Black Male Infertility. Men who have navigated fertility issues share their stories without shame. Jared Wright, 36, of New York, vividly remembers the moment he received the news that changed his life. He recalls the doctor walking in, taking his hat off and saying, "I'm sorry, you are diagnosed with non-obstructive azoospermia." Recounting this, Wright says, "I felt like somebody died." Infertility is the diagnosis one receives when conception doesn't occur after a year or more of having unprotected sex. Poor sperm quality, azoospermia, is usually the cause. This shows up as low sperm count, little or no sperm in the ejaculate, or inability for sperm to move easily to fertilize an egg. Blockages can also prevent the delivery of sperm. If you have had a really bad testicular infection, those can scar the tubes that carry the sperm from testicle to the ejaculate, says Ronald N. Glide, MD, a urologist in Atlanta. Age can also be an important factor. Based on a 2013 report titled Infertility and Impaired Fecundity in the United States, which followed men from 2006 through 2010, around 9% of men of reproductive age in the U.S. experience infertility. And for one-third of infertile couples, the difficulty is caused by male party. Black men have the highest infertility rate at 13.2%, with Hispanic and Asian men showing 12.8% infertility rates and white men 11%. Only 1% of men seeking infertility treatment were black. When it comes to the ability to procreate, some black men believe it's tied to their identity. We live in a society with a very narrow conceptualization of manhood and masculinity, says Darren D. Moore, PhD, LMFT, clinical professor and associate director of clinical training and supervision for the Marriage and Family Therapy Master's degree program at the Family Institute, Northwestern University. Particularly in the black community, a man is someone who can produce revenue and produce children. A man's ability to produce is associated with his perceived strength. Therefore, if he presents with fertility issues, he is often ridiculed and sometimes has his manhood questioned. Addressing the stigma, this mindset about the nature of manhood is so pervasive that partners often find themselves automatically blamed when an inability to conceive arises. Brandon Johnson of Virginia, 43, now a black infertility therapist, recalls his wife being offered an egg donation because of this assumption. His desire to protect her and remove the stigma of infertility led him to open up about his diagnosis, which he received at 32. At the time, I thought I was less than a man, admits Johnson. For Carl E. Lambert, Jr., M.D., a family physician in Chicago, his own infertility diagnosis was a come-to-Jesus moment. Lambert, 38, and his wife had not conceived after close to a year of trying, and he was initially reluctant to be evaluated. There was a little bit of denial there, he says, and I think for a lot of guys, that might be the first response. When he finally made it to the doctor, he found out that he had a low sperm count. Getting an infertility diagnosis engenders big emotions. We go through the stages of grief and loss because you are losing a valuable part of you, Johnson explains. He says it's important that men allow themselves to go through the anger, depression, bargaining, and acceptance that comes with that grief, understanding that you can move back and forth throughout these processes. Help is available. If you are having difficulty having a child after trying for a year or two, don't keep trying for 5, 6, and 7 years without being evaluated, says Anne Glide. After an initial semen analysis, your urologist will let you know what your options are. If your sperm count is low, you may be prescribed Clomid and or HCG to increase testosterone and sperm production. If sperm is present, either in the semen or needing to be extracted from the testes, intrauterine insemination, IUI, may be the first recommendation. If that doesn't work, your doctor may recommend in vitro fertilization, IVF. Lambert was evaluated 1 year after trying unsuccessfully to conceive with his wife. The couple was finally able to welcome a child through IVF. They went on to have a second child without assistance. Wright had surgery for variceal /scrotal varicose veins to correct his condition. He has since tried sperm retrieval for rounds of IVF, but no transfer has been successful to date. He and his wife plan to continue trying with their remaining healthy embryos. Though assisted reproductive treatment is very costly, Wright credits his health insurance plan as a New York State employee for his ability to afford it. However, he still pays between $200 and $250 per semen analysis. Since May 2023, 21 states have passed new fertility insurance coverage laws and 13 have fertility preservation laws for medically induced fertility. Resolve, the National Fertility Association, is a popular resource for understanding your options for health insurance coverage and other support services. Moving forward, I had to figure out whether it was more important to have a child that came from my loins or to be a father. And I wanted to be a father more than anything, says Johnson. So we started looking into different ways to have children after numerous unsuccessful IUI attempts. Johnson and his wife adopted a child. Amid trying to make one's parenting dreams a reality against the odds, he recommends getting back in touch with yourself. That includes finding a hobby that sparks joy or release pent-up pain. Anger builds tension, and that builds up in your body, he says. A physical activity will help release it. And Glade agrees that consistent movement and cultivating a healthy lifestyle, including no drugs, is significant for men who are ready to have children. You want to stay active. You don't want to be obese. Maintain a good weight, he says. Smoking is a big risk factor that causes infertility, so no nicotine or marijuana. Most importantly, according to Moore, is for men to be able to educate themselves and others. We need safe spaces to learn about infertility and opportunities to process our personal experiences, he says. We also need support as we deconstruct our identities in an effort to reconstruct them in a way that does not allow fertility status to determine one's manhood. Johnson agrees this is crucial. He no longer allows his diagnosis to impact the way he sees himself. You are, as a person, greater than your infertility, he says. Your infertility is a part of you, but it doesn't have to keep you down. The next article is titled, A Winning Altitude. These airlines not only have a staunch commitment to excellence in the skies, but are also contributing to a better overall experience in traveling. One of the most important aspects of traveling is your mode of transportation, and one bad experience can set the tone for the entire trip. We've all been there. Flight delays, lost luggage, long security lines, and terrible airline food has caused us all some level of stress. Thankfully, there are a few airlines dedicated to enhancing the travel experience and making it as seamless as possible. Here are our rankings of the world's best. Best overall, Delta Airlines. There's a good reason why people love Delta Airlines. It's stellar customer service and quality accommodations in both business and economy classes show that the airline takes the comfort of its patrons Seriously, according to last year's Wall Street Journal report, ranking industry performance metrics, Delta had the lowest amount of passenger complaints and was able to reduce its flight cancellation rate from nearly 2% to 1.2%. Best domestic business class. American Airlines. Want the full business class experience on your next domestic flight? Look no further than American Airlines, flagship first. Enjoy your very own suite seat in addition to other perks such as an exclusive check-in area with expedient security access, premium bedding, multi-course meals, and exclusive airport lounge access. Best International Business Class, Qatar Airways. A winner of multiple awards, Qatar Airways provides five-star hotel-like treatment within its business area, far exceeding the competition. Comfort and service don't even scratch the surface when it comes to what the Qatar Airways has to offer. A renowned double bed in the sky, quality multi-course dining menus, an exclusive selection of the world's best wines and spirits, and your very own choice of products in your amenity kit. Best company-wide commitment to diversity, United Airlines. In the wake of George Floyd tragedy, United's CEO resolved that the organization would no longer be a part of the systemic challenges within the airline industry, but would rather work toward solutions. Since then, the airline has maintained near-perfect pay equity for employees of all genders and races performing comparable work. It also features diverse suppliers at United Club locations and provides training to create more inclusive culture. Best lavish amenity kit, Turkish Airlines. Turkish Airlines is committed to extending consistent perks in the midst of rising costs of travel. The airline gives each business class passenger an exclusive amenity kit provided by Ferragamo. Yes, that Ferragamo, which is about as luxurious as you can get. You'll want to be sure you keep your goods for later. High-end socks, a sleep mask designed to accommodate face contours, earplugs, and, of course, high-end toiletries. Best budget airline, Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines has a reputation for being a low-cost carrier, but don't get it twisted. Low cost does not mean low budget. Not only does the carrier deliver a quality experience, but it's also committed to providing the highest level of customer service. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.